Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. I'm going to do something. You're going to be so mad at me because I know we're all creatures of habit, but we're such a, I don't like to say small. I like to use the word intimate and cozy. We're an intimate, cozy group. So can we get intimate and cozy with each other this morning and just let's come a little closer, all of us. Let's do it. Let's just do it. I know it's not our Rosedale way, but let's just get in these front seats and just be together and come on up to the front. Thanks, Norm, for giving us the musical chairs music. That feels better. We're closer. We're closer to each other. You guys are closer to each other. I'm closer to you. I may come. I think I'll you know what? I'm going to come down. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone too. I made you. I'm going to do the same thing and come a little closer. Yeah, and just say good morning again. It's good to be together, and happy Thanksgiving again. What a wonderful weekend this is. It's never a bad time. It is always a good time in our lives to just pause and to stop and to remember and to take a moment for gratitude. No matter where we're at in life, no matter what we're going through, it is good to say thank you. It's good to say thank you together as a community. And it is good also to say thank you to God for the blessings in our lives. So here we are. Welcome again. With me in leadership this morning is Norman Nermy on piano accompanying. Thank you for being here, Norm. And also we have amongst you our quartet, who you will meet shortly. We have Catherine Morrow. We have Mariana Bell. We have Valdis Yevtyevs. There he is. And Ben, is Ben here? Maybe Ben is not here yet. Yeah. Oh, Rod, sorry, different name. Where's Rod? How come I can't see Rod? Oh, there he is. Hey, Rod. Hey, we're so glad that you guys are all here with us this morning. And I'm really grateful to have Mariana Bell assisting me in leadership today as a liturgist. So Mariana, thank you. Mariana is, for those who don't know, is right now through the United Church of Canada in a program called the Licensed Lay Leadership Program, which trains people to lead worship. And so Mariana has penned our prayers this morning and will give voice to the longings of our heart, and we're so grateful to you, Mariana. Thank you. So we are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the neighborhood and all over our city. To that end, I have some announcements. Next Sunday, right after church, we're going to be going downstairs to the basement. Whoever wants to join in, we have a task of making 200 sandwiches for St. Luke's United Church down at Carleton and Sherbourne. We support their Out of the Cold program financially, but they need more than donations right now. They actually need physical help feeding the numbers of people that are coming to their doors on Wednesdays and Sundays. So we actually have the families with young children in our congregation set to make those sandwiches, but everyone is welcome. I am sure they will not say no to a helping hand. So that's next Sunday right after church. If you have grandkids and maybe you want to bring your grandkids and help out with that, please do. That would be awesome. A note also, Holly Berry Fair, this is our major fundraiser again for outreach. 100% of the profits go to helping people in need in our city. Last year, all of it went to the St. Luke's food program. Holly Berry Fair is looking for donations for thrift. Doesn't have to be just women's clothing, men's clothing, kids, treasures, silent auctions, sponsors for different sections of the deli. If you can help out, Diane is your person. Just raise your hand, Diane. She'll be at coffee hour. Speaking of helping, coffee hour. It's self-serve today, and like everyone pitch in to clean up. It's that kind of a, it's gonna be like community day today. So we'll go in with that mentality, we'll all pitch in, it'll be good. If you didn't pick up a hymn book, they're at the back on the cart, okay? So now's your time. If you don't have a hymn book, just pop on back and get one, they're back there. I think that's it for announcements. I think we're good. So on that note then, I will invite us to stand as we are able and to call ourselves to worship on this wonderful Thanksgiving Day. The Lord sets a table of gratitude and rejoicing even while the world is in turmoil. May our hearts be truly grateful, and may we show our gratitude in the ways we love and care for others.
In God's presence, we are made confident and strong.
Open your hearts to God's compassionate words of love.
In the presence of God, we are loved and made whole.
And let's sing together for the fruit of all creation. We're invited to bless each other, welcome each other with the peace of Christ. That's turning to each other and just saying, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you.
Thank you.
our Christ candle. And the flame is a symbol of the warmth of this community, the community of Christ, the warmth of being together, and the warmth of giving thanks. And so, a moment now just to be silent, to come more into this time and this space, and to gather ourselves in prayer.
Bounteous God, we come to you this day with our hearts full of gratitude for all we have been given. We thank you for the many ways which you have blessed our lives with love, hope, friends, our church, and the beautiful colors of autumn. Bless each of us that we may become true blessings to others. Give us hearts of courage and confidence to go into the world to bring hope where there is doubt, peace where there is conflict, and love where there is indifference. All of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to say, Our Father,
The good news, friends, is that God is continually present with us, continually showing up for us, and we can continually show up in our world with hope, love, and joy. We sing, make a joyful noise. So opening the theme this morning, obviously it's around Thanksgiving, obviously it's about gratitude. I want to invite us to consider, what are the harvests that are sustaining you right now? What are the harvests that are sustaining you right now? And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have no challenges in your life or that everything is going smoothly. That's not how life is. It's always full of challenges. It's always like this. And yet, we find that we are somehow sustained. What are the harvests that are sustaining you right now that you're thankful for? I'm going to invite you to a moment of contemplation while Norm plays. Today, because we are a smaller group, I always say this question's just for you, you never have to share. But today, if you want to share about the harvests that are sustaining you right now, you can do that. After some time of contemplation, I'll bring the microphone around. Yeah, so over to you. What are the harvests that are sustaining you? So what are the harvests that are sustaining you right now? If I were to answer that question, I have been thinking about that question. And like all of you, every single person in this room, my life is never easy. It's the same for everybody. There's always something. And what's sustaining me is right now, in this moment, having adult kids around come home from university for Thanksgiving. So Nicholas is here with his girlfriend, Clara. Can you guys say hi so that they can see you? My son, who's in third, well, actually, both of them are at Concordia in third year. And Clara is originally from Calgary. And they met at Concordia. And so Clara's with us for Thanksgiving. And it's such a joy to just have this, like, these people just show up in the middle of your regular life and sustain you with the music they're listening to, and let's talk about different things. What are you guys doing? And let me hear your stories, and how's life going for you? And that has been a harvest that has sustained me right now, just having adult kids come back home and be present for a little bit. And yeah, it adds to chaos and this and that, blah, 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 whatever. It's great having some folks around. What are the harvests that are sustaining you? I know it's kind of a big question. I don't know, does anyone wanna, it's okay if no one raises their hands. It's okay. It's okay if there's awkwardness in the air, but if anyone wants to, okay, nice. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. The harvest for me has been our grandkids this summer. I've had the opportunity to live with each of them for a period of time with alone and for a time and get to know them and their turmoils and their triumphs.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Anyone else want to share a harvest, quote unquote, that's sustaining you right now? Thanks, Wilma.
I'm really feeling joyful to have Lori with me. Lori lives in Montreal and is here and has been with me for over a week.
Nice.
It's just been wonderful, the things that we have done together. And it's just, for instance, going to the symphony with somebody this year. It was
Yes. Lovely
to just have all those extra things and to be with the other family members this afternoon. So it's a very special day. Very special time.
Wonderful. Welcome, Lori. Okay. Any last one? We're good. That's a harvest. That's an abundance. Thank you. So I'll invite Penny for our first reading.
Good morning. This is a reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. Do not fear, O soil, Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The trees bear its fruit. The fig tree, the vine, and they give full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing field or floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army that I have sent against you. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. This is a sacred reading. May it comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
Thank you, Penny. Well, I've never personally seen a threshing floor full of grain and vats overflowing with wine and oil, but I have witnessed the abundance my grandparents would harvest when they had a garden in the Okanagan Valley. And I have memories of summer days making jam, not me, but my grandmother, directing my mother and aunts in a complicated choreography in the tiny kitchen, now do this, now that. The big black and white enamel pot filled with glass jars to be sealed. And I have memories of my grandfather bringing in armfuls of tomatoes from the garden for us to fry at breakfast and slice into sandwiches, spread thick with mayonnaise at lunch. And as soon as we thought we'd made a dent in their numbers, he'd come in with another load from the garden. My grandparents' garden testified to this irrepressible truth, that the earth's default setting is abundance. We have enough. There is enough. But often we forget this. The prophet Joel wrote for a people whose land had been invaded by hostile forces, their crops trampled, their dreams devoured. Years passed without there being enough fruit left over for the local grandmothers to make jam, and the people no longer recalled a time when they couldn't eat the garden tomatoes fast enough. They began to doubt the truth that the earth's default setting is abundance. They began to doubt that they had enough, that they were enough. Our minds can likewise be invaded by hostile forces. When my now 18-year-old daughter was 12 or 13, an opportunity came up for her to join a competitive swim team. And she'd started swimming more seriously, and my husband and I thought joining this team would be an incredible opportunity for her to learn discipline and perseverance and excellence, but she was nervous about her ability. Finally, after much cajoling, we convinced her to go to the first practice, and I watched her move through the water with smooth and powerful strokes. She looked fantastic. But the first words out of her mouth after that practice were, "I'm never going back. I was the slowest person there," she said. "I can't do it. I don't have enough. I'm not enough." Years ago, my mother and I went to the AGO to see an exhibit that has stuck with me to this day called Facing the Monumental. And it's by Rebecca Belmore, who's an Indigenous artist in Canada. And one of the pieces on display was a modern-day backpacking tent that she had carved entirely from marble. It looked uncannily like an actual nylon tent, the folds of the fly curved and draped in the style the ancient Greek sculptures used to evoke folds in a dress. In fact, the sculpture was first exhibited in Greece on a famous hill in Athens, the tent door facing a view of the Acropolis, the site of the Parthenon, the most ancient symbol of democracy and Western civilization. And at the time that she exhibited this sculpture of a tent, tents not unlike her sculpture were popping up all over Europe as the continent faced a migration crisis. And homeless encampments and migration due to violence and instability remain some of the monumental crises of our time. And when I think about how we solve this, along with all the other monumental crises facing the human species, the hostile force of overwhelm creeps in, and I can get as racked with anxiety as my daughter was to get into the pool. I can't do it. I don't have enough. We're not enough. When the ancient people of Israel forgot the default settings of this world, that they had enough, that they were enough, the prophet Joel channeled for them the voice of God to help bring them back. He got them to engage in an ancient spiritual practice called repentance, which is just a fancy way of saying turning around. When you find yourself going down that path of, I can't, I'm not enough, we don't have enough to face whatever monumental, to repent is to stop and remember and then turn around and go in a different direction. The prophet Joel helped in his writing the ancient people of Israel to repent, to help them to stop and remember and to hear God's voice again. Surely the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid. Know that I'm in you. The practice of stopping and remembering and turning was, for the ancient people of Israel, the equivalent of being handed a dozen jars of jam and an armload of tomatoes. That practice was the harvest that sustained them. One of my favorite films is by an American independent filmmaker named Kelly Reichardt. She made a film last year starring Michelle Williams. It was a really small film, but it was really, really well done. I loved it. It affected me really profoundly. And this film is called Showing Up. I recommend it to everyone. This film did for me what the Book of Joel did for the ancient people of Israel. It engaged me, ironically, in the spiritual practice of repentance. It invited me to stop and to remember and to turn and to go a different direction. It sustained me like a dozen jars of jam from my grandma, like an armload of tomatoes. It was a kind of harvest that sustained me. In the film, Michelle Williams plays an artist, a sculptor. Her day job is as a receptionist at an art school, and every evening she comes home and works on her sculptures in her apartment garage. She's preparing for an exhibit, and it's not like she's famous or anything or known. It's not like she's ever going to make wads of money off of these sculptures. She's just making these little pieces that she's going to display at a tiny local gallery, and that's just it. that's going to be her life. And she lives in our world, so of course it's full of monumental problems. She can't possibly fix them all herself. She just shows up for what she can. A bird ends up in her apartment and it's broken its wing, and she takes care of it, puts it in a little box, nurses it back to health. She sits with her brother who's struggling. She visits her parents faithfully, week in, week out. It's a really small film about a really small life, a person who just shows up. And that's what made it so profound to me, because it's about this person who, by all accounts, doesn't really seem to be enough or have enough and will never get everything in life. And yet by the end of the film, she's created so much beauty, even though it's only in this little tiny square of her life and in her neighborhood. She's created healing simply by showing up. To show up is more than enough. I think that's what I'm grateful for this weekend, one of the things I'm grateful for. Another harvest that is sustaining me is just this perspective that to show up is enough. Thank you. Will you stand and sing with me? We're singing God Whose Farm Is All Creation. Our prayer this morning is accompanied by a refrain. You're going to hear the quartet dispersed amongst you sing it through twice. You're welcome to join in with them on the second time as you're comfortable. And then every time you see refrain throughout this prayer, you're invited to sing.
thank you for the expanding grandeur of creation, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations. We thank you for this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, sunsets and seasons. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And thank you God, for all your love. We give our thanks today for the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, hopes and achievements, for our human community filled with hope. We thank you for our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And thank you, God, thank you for all who labor and suffer for a fairer world, who live and have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom. Bless those around us in ravines, on city streets, and under bridges who need our care and support. Give those in powerful positions the wisdom to create and implement policies and practices to bring them relief and dignity. Please give us the ability and sense to show others every day how they matter to us, to the world, and to you. Thank you for the blessings in our lives. We pray that you remind us of how blessed we are from the moment of our birth throughout our lives. God, may you never allow us to forget to show gratitude in prayers and acts of kindness. Amen.
In this moment, we're invited to respond to all that we may be holding in our hearts from our time of prayer, and also to respond perhaps by setting an intention for this time of Thanksgiving for this week ahead. And so, to begin, I want to invite you to join with me our response that's printed in our bulletin. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. And so in this moment, you're invited to come and light a candle at wherever you see them placed in the sanctuary, up front or on the sides, and you might want to use that time to name a gratitude in your own heart, or perhaps to commit to an act of kindness this coming week or month or year that will help you exhibit your gratitude. You may also in this time be moved by gratitude to make a donation to the life and work of this church community. And if you wish to do so, our box is at the back, and there's also a way you can scan and donate through our bulletin. So this moment to respond is now yours as our quartet sings.
Thank you.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what will you wear? It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather unto barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God.
For centuries, people have been thrown into fits of panic over Jesus' counsel, do not worry about your life. What an impossible task, we think, for those of us who were responsible for children and parents and pets, when the well-being of grandchildren weighs on our minds, when we direct boards and sit on committees, when we balance the upkeep of a home with keeping up at work. If we don't worry about what we'll eat and drink, people under our own roofs are going to go hungry. But I think what Jesus is challenging us to do instead is to look at the big picture. What are we striving for? The best body, the most well-appointed home, the most fashionable outfits, to look better than our age. In other words, what are we striving for? Just striving in how we come across to others? Strive first for the kingdom, Jesus says. Words which may well send us into an even deeper pit of worry. Are we expected to add sort out world peace to our to-do list now, when some of us struggle to sort out what's for dinner? In 2017, my family spent a year living in California, and one of the highlights of that year was time we spent exploring national parks and hiking. And on a visit to Yosemite National Park, we decided to climb to Upper Yosemite Falls, the tallest waterfall in all of North America. Our end game, the big picture we hoped to realize, was perspective on the entire valley and the best view of the Half Dome Rock in the whole park. But it was hard not to worry about how we would get there. The climb was relentless, 5 kilometers up and up and up a series of narrow, rocky and pitted switchbacks. In retrospect, it wasn't the most suitable hike for our youngest, who was 5 at the time and who at one point asked to nap right in the middle of the trail. All we could do was keep that big picture in mind as we focused all our energy on getting to the next bend in the trail, and the next, and the next, just one step, then another. My first Thanksgiving after I moved to Toronto, this was 20 plus years ago, I was a student at Emmanuel. A classmate of mine invited me to her home near Peterborough for the weekend. She was what we call a mature student. She was an older woman. She lived alone in a creaky and gothic farmhouse. And I can't even remember what we ate, but it wasn't the classic Thanksgiving dinner. But I know she didn't fuss over the details. At the last minute, she invited her neighbor to join us. As a woman on her own, she could have been overwhelmed by the prospect of hosting some stranger from Alberta and putting on a Thanksgiving feast and also putting up with a neighbor who pops over just as dinner is served. But I think she had her own big picture in mind of what kind of world she wanted to live on. And I think she focused on realizing it, not in one giant leap, but through the simple and small, one tiny footstep at a time, making her way, an invitation to someone, an offer of a warm drink on a cold day, sharing the comforts of home to someone missing theirs. She didn't have to do much, but she brought me closer to the kingdom of God. So I'm also thankful this weekend for those who strive for God's big picture in the simple, small, and ordinary details of life. To do so can feel like taking an uphill journey. And so I'm thankful for those committed to taking a series of small and deliberate steps. Indeed, our faith teaches that it's the simple, small, and ordinary that can carry the greatest impact for change. Bread shared at a table, a cup passed around, have the power to redeem the whole world. And so, with gratitude and thanksgiving, we celebrate God's presence in the simple, small, and ordinary, in the God who walks with us one step at a time, and in God's promise, don't worry, but strive for the kingdom. Invite us to stand and sing. This is Come, Children, Join to Sing.
Thank you.
Beloved of God, place your whole trust in God's absolute and abundant love. Feel the powerful presence of God in your life, and God's blessings be with you. Go in peace, and may God's love be with you always. Amen. We go out now together as a community to enjoy coffee, tea, if you can stay for that time of hospitality, and into whatever else the rest of this day brings you. We bless each other as we go, singing Walk With Me.